The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Oh my God. Oh my goodness. It's 2 minutes and 10 seconds left in this game and it is over. The Denver Nuggets are up 20! 20! It's over! Kawhi Leonard, Max Kellerman, I don't want to hear another word about he the best. Nicest dude in the world, Paul George. Oh my God. Did he look bad tonight? Shots off the side of the backboard, missed layups, missing wide open threes, turning the ball over. All in the fourth quarter. Denver ain't no joke. I give them a lot of credit, but this was a straight choke job by the Clippers in the fourth quarter. When you wet the bed like that in the last 12 minutes of a game seven, that's a choke job. You see me choking now?
Oh, paging Max Kellerman. Stephen A's already got his snack. He's going to be sipping his tea. Let me remind everyone, the Clippers had a 3-1 lead in this series. So, yes, I would define that as a choke, as Stephen A said. And, Max, you describe Kawhi as not just the best. He's a cyborg, and he has ice water in his veins. What the heck happened to your boy?
The Denver Nuggets happened to my boy, and I was wrong. Kawhi cannot play like that in the seventh game of a series, period, in any series, and be considered the best player in the world. The only possible saving grace for the Clippers and Kawhi is if the Nuggets do the same thing to the Lakers. But, as I've done in the last two series, I'm picking against these Nuggets in that one. Look, Kawhi, as I said before the game, I'm not going to change now. I'm right here. Kawhi, as I said before the game, I hold to the same standard as LeBron or James Harden or anyone else who is a superstar and one of the best players in the world and the franchise centerpiece. It's a game seven. If you've gotten this far, the teams are evenly matched. The team with the best player on the floor will win the game, almost always. The best player on the floor was Jokic. Kawhi was also not the second best player on the floor. The second best player on the floor was Jamal Murray. You can't be, and he may not have been the third best player on the floor either, but you can't have two dudes on the other team both outplay you. The Clippers at one point didn't score in the fourth quarter until what, like 5 minutes to go was the first field goal at least they made in the fourth quarter? This has happened to me once before with respect to LeBron James. When in 2016, in the midst of a 73-win season, Steph Curry looked unstoppable, going back 4 years already. And I said, I know a guy like Steph is never the best player in the world, his size and everything. LeBron's so much more athletic. But given the rules today, Steph has surpassed LeBron. And I had to eat my words then when LeBron led them on a comeback in a Game 7 to win at Oracle. And in the last almost 5 minutes of the fourth quarter, the greatest half-court offense ever didn't score a point, led by Steph Curry, who turned the ball over. And I had to come out and say, oops, sorry, LeBron, you're still the king after all. Look, this morning I have to say, at this moment, whoops, 4 years after that fact, sorry, LeBron, you're still the best player in the world after all. Kawhi blew it.
Are you finished? I just want to make sure, because I want to give you all the time you need.
Now, I want to give you all the time you need.
For now.
Are you finished? Before, because when once I get in, I don't want to be interrupted. I want to give you the floor because I don't
want
to be interrupted.
About
when I get
puppets?
Are you
want me
sure?
To bring sock puppets? I'm
sure?
Finished for now. Depends on what you say.
Okay. First of all, your little soliloquy right there shows why when it comes to the sport of basketball, you should be banned from talking about the sport. Your take was embarrassing. After all of this noise that you have made all of these years about Kawhi Leonard, you come on national television. I give you the top of the show. I step back. I got my team dudes right here, Max. I got my team right here. Listen, man. I stepped back, Max. I gave you the floor. And your response to the American public after the drivel you have subjected us all to for the last several years was, whoops, I blew it. That's the best you can do. I got it. From here, Max. You know what? Hold on, Max. I'll take it from there. You remember Water Wolf? Because you and I grew up in New York City. Remember the great Water Wolf when he was doing his highlights, you know, every evening on CBS? Remember Water Wolf, Max Kellerman? Let's go to the videotape.
I got videotape for you, Max Kellerman.
Brian Borg, our producer extraordinaire. Give me highlight number one, please. Take it away. Play it.
He's in the conversation for greatest defensive player who ever lived. You don't even really think about his offense, except right now, he's shooting 60% from the field in the playoffs. A former finals MVP before he entered his prime is shooting 60 in the playoffs. Best offensive player, including KD, who's also in his prime, but Kawhi's not playing with Steph and Klay. So under pressure, yes, Kawhi is better than Kobe was.
What that video didn't show was the fact that Jay Williams and I got up off the set and walked out because of the dribble, the blasphemous that you just spewed. But Max, wait a minute before I get into Kawhi and
Before
I
you
got
go on,
more.
Hold on,
play
hold
the
on.
Next.
We're taking this one at a time, brother.
You can play the other tape right now. We don't want to hear from Max.
LeBron is a greater player than Kawhi when all is said and done, historically. KD will be too, I believe. But right now is what we're talking about. We're not talking about lifetime achievement.
Right now.
I think Kawhi is the baddest man on the planet. He is the reigning and defending finals MVP, and not for the first time. And I believe he's going to do it again.
That was Max Kellerman, ladies and gentlemen. Now let me get to last night's game. Kawhi Leonard, that might be the biggest choke job we've ever seen in NBA history. I mean, it was that bad. We're talking about a two-time MVP. We're talking about a two-time champion who Max Kellerman has bloviated about being the best in the world. And what happens? You're up 3-1 in the second round, not the conference finals, in the second round against Denver, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, not LeBron James. And in the second round, up 3-1, you blow a 3-1 lead. What do? You shoot 6-22 from the field. You shoot 1-11 in the second half. You didn't even get to the free throw line. Just an absolute positive choke job, period. Oh, it's just that simple. And I gotta say this. This hurts me. Because I love this brother. I think he's one of the best people you could ever meet in the NBA. And I do think he's a star. But Paul George doesn't get taken off the hook either. I mean, his performance was abysmal. It was just as bad as Kawhi Leonard. When you're in a corner, wide open, behind the three-point line, and you hit the side of the backboard, and you can't buy a basket. I can't let him off the hook. I can't let Lou Williams, Lemon Pepper Lou, off the hook either. Your job is to score. That's your job, to find a way to stop the bleeding. Lou Williams didn't do that. My brother, Doc Rivers, we know how much I love this man. We know what a great coach I think he is. You've been there 7 years. You still can't get them to the NBA Finals. Doc Rivers is in trouble. I hope that he does not lose his job. He's in a world of trouble right now. And if he keeps his job, he's on the hot seat. Sam Cassell looking to be a head coach. Damn it. This might have blown that opportunity for the immediate moment. Ty Lue, we know what a champion he is. Unfortunately, everybody's looking at that coaching staff. Why? Because load management, lack of team chemistry, team not being together, acting like prima donnas, it all came back to bite them in the you-know-what. But for the purposes of this show, That man sitting right in front of me, right there, that split screen, right there, Max Kellerman. I mean, talk about somebody that should shell up, if not flat out. I don't want to hear whoops, no. I mean, you owe America a public apology. You know, owe the basketball gods a public apology. Kawhi Leonard, he wasn't even the third option when he was in San Antonio and he won the league MVP. And then last year, there was no Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson went down. Ooh. He shouldn't have won last year. This was the first time in his career he was the number one dude. All the pressure was on him and he flat out choked. There is no way around this. Floor is yours.
Yeah, he choked. That's right.
I'm not finished, but floor is yours.
As John Maynard Keynes, Stephen A. said,
yeah, he choked.
Famous
right.
economist.
That's all you got?
When the facts change, so does my opinion. What about you, sir?
Did you
so
bring up an economist?
So last year when you showed
Did
that
Did you just
clip,
bring up
by
an
the
economist?
Way, let's start.
Did
now
you just bring up an economist?
All the bunk that you just spewed. You had
you
your chance.
You just brought up an economist on a basketball argument?
All the
Is that
bunk.
What you just did?
All the bunk you just spewed. Zip it, as you would say. All the bunk you just spewed. Number one, I wasn't saying for years Kawhi was the best. I said since last year's playoff. Going into the playoffs, I said Giannis was, because that's what he showed during the regular season, and LeBron was hurt, and also much older at that point. Then Kawhi dominated everyone in the playoffs, including in the finals, and at that point, I said what just happened. He had one of the all-time great clutch postseasons of all time. Considering what he did on the offensive and defensive end, considering he just won finals MVP for the second time, I don't care who was hurt on the Warriors. If the Warriors were at full strength, no one was going to beat them, including any LeBron-led team. No one was going to beat that Warriors at full strength. Of course, if they were at full strength, they would have won. That didn't mean KD was better than Kawhi that year. That meant he was on a much, much better team. So let's get on to your Kobe stuff.
This is shameful.
Kobe Bryant, rest in peace, one of the all-time greats. And obviously, I don't want to point out where the strong stumbled right now. But you act like Kobe never had a Game 7 like that. Now his team won. Meta bailed him out in that Game 7, as did Powell. But Kobe shot, I think he even shot worse than Kawhi did last night. Like, Kobe had Game 7s like that. Don't act like he didn't. He, by the way, up 3-1 on a team that came back on him. Kobe and the Lakers were up
3-1
on Steve.
He didn't get punked.
On Steve Nash.
Denver
what do you
came
mean,
at
get
them
punked?
The first six
He shot the same as Kawhi.
Hold on.
You talked. He shot the same as Kawhi in Game 7. Now his team won. He gets off the hook for that. And guess what? I agree he gets off the hook for that. I agree you can point to Kobe and say, well, his team, if they needed him to do more, maybe he would have. Maybe that's true. It's much worse when you play like Kawhi did in a Game 7 and you get destroyed by 20, especially when you had a double-digit lead for the third consecutive game. I'm not going soft on Kawhi and taking it easy on him. I'm telling it like it is.
I think you are.
Last year I told it like
no,
it was.
Not.
This year I'm telling it like it is. Furthermore,
you're incapable of telling it like it is. You're incapable. You brought up an economist.
You want me to roll some tape too? Hold up.
Yeah.
I am responding to your points. Now, hold up. Was Kobe ever up 3-1 on a team that came back on him in the playoffs? Yes, Kobe and the Lakers were up 3-1 on the Suns and collapsed and lost a 7-game series. By the way, you know how I remember that so well? I lost a dinner bet. Because I said there's no way a Kobe Bryant-led team up 3-1 will ever lose a best-of-seven series. And I lost that bet to Jim Lampley. I had to take him out to dinner when we were doing a fight overseas, okay?
You can't take it.
I remember all this
talking.
Stuff, Stephen
you
A.
You want to talk through this segment.
You don't want me to respond because
you want to block me from getting on you. That's what your strategy is.
Listen.
You're scared
you wouldn't stop
it.
Talking. It's my turn
it.
Now.
You're scared.
Everything
you're scared.
I
petrified because you can't take
everything
what you have done.
I said
you
at
can't
the time
take the fact that you need to turn
true.
In your basketball card. You can't take the
every
fact
time
that you was wrong about Kawhi Leonard. You can't
you're
take
gonna,
it.
You're just going to keep talking.
Period.
You talk for about five
that,
straight
listen,
minutes. And
you,
I'm just
that's
responding
what you're doing.
To your points.
The difference is people are actually interested in what I have
to say. I'm responding
to
your point.
They don't want
to
hear
I'm
from you right now unless you're
going
to admit it. You got to man up.
Time. One, two,
you got to man up.
Tick them off. So. What happened last year? Everything I said was true. What did I say about the Kobe-Kawhi comparison? Everything I said was true at the time. This is a new piece of evidence for Kawhi. He didn't come through and he gets taken down a notch. That's how it works, Stephen A. It's not religious. It's not an undisprovable hypothesis. You get the evidence, and you adjust your view to the evidence, not the other way around.
Listen, first of all, if I knew your tactic was going to be to talk through the whole thing so I didn't have an opportunity to respond, I would have just passed on the show and just came
ridiculous.
On tomorrow and just let you apologize to America for the next 2 hours for the drivel that you've been spewing. You brought up Giannis and how you said Giannis was the best player in the world before Kawhi. What you didn't remind our audience of was the fact that on a Thursday, you called Giannis the best player in the world, and by Monday, you had him at 5. Because 2 games, he didn't show
up.
You went from number 1 to 5 in a span of 4 days. That's what you did. This is what you do. And so now that you sit up here with your drivel and you just want to sit up there, well, whoops, oh, I got it wrong. And that's all you want to say. When Kawhi wet the bed the way that he did with the commercial, with the King's crown dangling from the mirror of his new ride, his convertible, with the New Balance commercial, with him claiming he was coming for LeBron in L.A. and all that it entailed. And this was the new man in town. He was the king. And Max Kellerman, more than any soul in America, bought into that. This brother shows up. You give up a 16-point lead in game 5. You give up a 19-point lead in game 6. In game 7, you shoot 1 for 11 in the second half. You can't even get to the free throw line. And we gonna sit up here and go, whoops, I made a mistake. That's all you got? I'm trying to give it to you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you the floor to sit up there and own it. But what do? You still sit
I
up there
own it.
And go, oh, whoops. All of that stuff you were talking.
Every single thing I said
it
was true
him.
When I
it
said it.
It wasn't just him. It wasn't
this
just
is
him.
A, this
it was
is,
Lou Williams. It was Paul George.
No doubt.
It was Doc Rivers and the coaching staff, too. Nobody gets off the hook. I give you that. But I'll be damned if that's all you got to say about Kawhi. That's it.
Well, you decide what you have to say, and I'll decide what I have to say.
Are you going
to
apologize?
That's right. I had Giannis one. That's right. I had Giannis one because what you're doing when you make predictions and when you talk about where athletes are is you're trying to hit moving targets. New evidence changes that. Giannis was the regular season MVP, one of the all-time great seasons. When it mattered most, yes, partly because of his style of play that was exposed, but also he didn't rise to the occasion. And neither did his team. And that took him down several notches. That's true. And last year, when Kawhi had one of the greatest playoff series after series of all time, I told the truth. And now that he choked last night, I'm telling the truth again. That's all there is to it.
Well, damn, how many truths are there? How many truths? Has anybody ever asked you how many truths are there? I mean, damn, you just gave up about 5 of them. Oh, by the way, Max, can I ask you a question about this? Is it Kawhi? All right, forget the offense because I already highlighted the offense. What about the defense? What about the fact that Jamal Murray dropped 40? I mean, didn't we say Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are two of the best, both, you know, two-way players in the game?
I got a
Jamal
question for
Jamal Murray
you.
Dropped 40 in a game 7.
Question.
I understand if you're not making shots, you're not making shots, you miss it. But then to have a brother drop 40 on you in the process, I mean, damn. Damn! I mean, can we bring that up?
Question.
Can we do that?
Sure. Sure. Was anyone going to stop Jamal Murray last night, Stephen A., from scoring?
I think, listen.
The best thing you can do is double him. And then maybe you'll stop.
40. If you
Stephen A., I'm asking you again. Was someone
going to,
was one-on-one player going to stop Jamal Murray last night?
Yes. From 40, yes. From 40, yes.
Jamal Murray, the only way to stop him from getting 40 last night is to put two dudes on him. That's it. Yeah.
Max, did you see
him? By the way, you act like Jamal Murray didn't just come off a series where he was the focal point and was dropping 50 on the regular. What are you talking about?
Max, what did Jamal Murray do in game 7 against Utah? Look it up.
Game 7, he had a bad shooting night. Yeah, that wasn't the defense. They were exhausted. Yep.
Okay. So he wasn't exhausted yesterday, huh?
But
this game 7.
Stephen A.,
no, he wasn't.
There were times where dudes were playing very good defense on him. He hit the shot anyway. He's a great player.
I understand that. That explains 20, 25. It don't explain 40. When you are an elite player and you're a champion, or you're Paul George, the guy that Kawhi Leonard used to hold an organization hostage, for crying out loud. The Clippers had to get Paul George because that was the only way that Kawhi Leonard said he would come. They trade all those picks for Paul George, and I love Paul George. I truly do. But my God, he was awful last night. And then to sit up there in a post-game conference and to talk about, well, you know what, you know, we just needed more time together, whatever. No, not in this day and age. Please. Please. Not to matter. You might have that.
Hey, what are you going to say?
You might have that excuse if you lose in the finals, but to lose in the second round? No, no, no.
What are you going to say if the Denver Nuggets go all the way?
I'm going to sit up there and give them the props that they deserve. I believe they will win a championship in their future. I do not believe it will be this year. I believe that LeBron James and AD are going to win the next series. Sorry to Jamal Murray, who I will address in the show later because I love that kid. But I think the Lakers are going to win. But the bottom line is this. They're a young stud squad. It doesn't matter. You were up 3-1 when they were stud.
My point
is
this.
You were up
3-1. My point is this. They were down 3-1 against the Jazz. They were down 3-1 against the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, I agree with you. I think the Lakers are going to win the next series. But you can't count this team out. That's one thing we've learned. Let's say they're down 3-1 again and come all the way back. What are you going to say then? What you're going to say is you're going to have to adjust your view to the new evidence. That's how it works.
No, I'm not. Right. No, I'm not, Max. You know why?
Got you sweating,
because there is nothing that the Denver Nuggets can do. There is nothing that the Denver Nuggets can do that's going to change my opinion about what I saw from the Clippers last night. It was inexcusable. And don't get me wrong.
Well, I agree with
that. Like I said, Doc just needed to make adjustments. No question. He did do it. But it was bad. Those were Lou, Paul George.
I agree with that.
Let me wrap this up.
Kawhi was great last postseason.
Okay, let me wrap this up, fellas. Real quick, we got to get into commercial. We got to get into commercial break here. We're gonna have plenty more with this. Kendrick Perkins will be joining us. Stephen A., you had me weak. How did you bust out the church sermon towel? Didn't know you were gonna do that for us. And then you pull out the tapes.
Well,
so Stephen A. came ready this morning. And Max, I can't even handle the fact that you admitted that you were wrong on two fronts. LeBron too. It's a big day for us here on First Take. So we got plenty more of this coming up.
Before the show, I run on the Peloton. That's why I'm sweating. I'm sorry. That's why I'm losing my pounds. I've been running on the Peloton.
It was just Easter Sunday. And you were just preaching the good word to Max. That's what I thought happened.
Well, I was doing that too, but it's Max. I mean, it's pathetic. Pathetic argument. Why don't you just go home today, Max?
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Oh, now the Big Ten is closer to playing football this fall. ESPN confirming a story first reported by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that says the conference is expected to announce a return to football in October. That announcement is expected to happen today. ESPN also just confirming that the season will start on October 24th. Remember now, on August 11th, the Big Ten had announced it would be postponing all fall sports. So a huge turn of events here, Max. October 23rd, Big Ten back in action, reportedly. What's your reaction to this?
Well, I understand the decision because I didn't think Major League Baseball would ever get through their season, and that looks likely now, and then they'll go to a bubble for the playoffs. So maybe they will crown a champion, and I thought that was unlikely. Although, as Stephen A. Smith pointed out originally, baseball is a socially distanced sport. So I see that there are some conferences that are playing games, right? So the Big Ten's like, why don't we at least try? We'll wait till the last possible second. which is also smart because you got to see how this all plays out. There's supposed to be another wave. It's supposed to get bad during flu season. There's still no vaccination. Even if there is a vaccine, it won't be scaled up nearly in time for the college football season. But something that has changed from several months ago is tests are far more plentiful now. They're much more accessible. If you recall, when this started, when the pandemic started, and even several months into it, the real issue was, how do you get your hands on enough tests? Because you'd be taking them away from people for whom it's vitally important that they have those tests. So from that point of view, I understand the attempt. That said, Ed Orgeron said that most of his team, whether or not that's true, most of his team has had COVID. And I was under the impression, at least the argument, Tim Tebow made it on this show, is that the safest place for these players is in with a football protocol for all this, because it would keep them safer than in gen pop, so to speak, right? That's supposed to be the idea. Now, maybe in LSU, the issue is it's in a part of the country where more people have bought into very bad political propaganda and messaging and have not been careful enough in terms of social distancing and masks. You see this covered throughout the country, people actually having COVID parties, or at least, at the very least, in some areas, not social distancing and wearing masks. And that's particularly true, it seems to me, among some college-age people. So maybe that would have happened anyway, right? Even had they not been in a football program. Nevertheless, they are. And if it's true that they all have COVID, that's not good, not only for the players, but for the potential spread of the disease. So I understand why the Big Ten has reversed course. I think it's wise. I think it's fine. I think it's not a bad idea to try if it seems like it's maybe there's even a small chance you can pull it off. And I understand waiting until then. I am skeptical still that the college football season will be finished, but I do understand the attempt.
Hey, Max, let me throw this by you. I got this information from somebody very, very closely connected to the Big Ten, because they used to play in the Big Ten, and obviously they have a kid that used to play or still plays in the Big Ten. They sent me this text message, and I want to read it to you, okay? It says here, Big Ten is using antigen testing, and it isn't safe. NFL is using PCR testing, which is 99.7% accurate, okay? Then you hear the White House gives antigen every day, but if you test positive, they immediately give you a PCR test. Antigen is only useful if you have a bubble-like NBA kind of atmosphere, but tests must be backed up by PCR testing. I don't know. I didn't go that in-depth into it. That's why I just wanted to read what somebody had sent me. I want to preface my comment by saying that's just a source closely connected with the Big Ten. Whether it's definitive in its facts or whatever, I don't know the case. I didn't check with the NFL to see whether or not they use PCR testing or anything like that. But you do hear noise about antigen testing compared to PCR testing, and how PCR testing is presumably more accurate than antigen testing. And that's why I felt the need to read that text that was sent to me. If that's what the Big Ten is doing, then obviously they have to do a better job, and they need to back it up with PCR testing, because if that's more accurate, then that's the route they need to go. Having said all of that, here's what I would say to you. The Big Ten is making the right decision. They're a bit late to the party. They obviously wanted to wait to see. They put their fingers up in the wind and see what direction the wind blows before they made the decision. That's clearly what they're doing here. But it doesn't make their decision wrong. If the SEC, if the ACC, and other conferences, the Big 12 and others, are planning on playing football and moving full steam ahead, and indeed there is going to be a college playoff, then if you're the Big Ten, you obviously want to play a significant role in that. You want to be a part of that, not just because you want to participate in postseason action if indeed we move full steam ahead and there's going to be that, but also you don't want it to drastically and catastrophically affect recruiting. If I am a parent, or I am a student or student athlete at a Big Ten school, and you elect not to play, then excuse me, I'm going to look at the schools who are playing. and I'm going to think about the leadership that they have displayed along the way. And I'm going to say, excuse me, that's a conference that I want to play in. That's an institution I want to play for, rather than somebody that says, you know what, we're just going to sit at home and make be presumptuous in making the decision that we're just not going to have a season, or without even doing everything we could, without exhausting every option to make sure that we do have a season. I think that's the kind of thing that we have to think about here, especially when players are making the arguments that we're more safe being around each other than not having football and being left to our own devices to still go on campus, to still travel back and forth home and things of that nature. This is not, it's inescapable what we have to deal with. So why not have football? And when the rest of the Big Five conferences, or at least most of them, have made the decision to go full steam ahead, then I think it was wise for the Big Ten to join in. They should all be in it together, or they should be out together. If they're in, everybody should be in, meaning the Big Five schools is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think we more or less, there are certain things maybe we disagree with about a little, but I think reasonable people can say you might as well try, particularly when tests are much more readily available than they were several months ago, and there is at least a chance you can do it, even if you have to shut it down and it doesn't work out. If you don't try, it certainly won't work out, provided you're keeping people safe, not just the student athletes, where if everyone, for example, in LSU has COVID, that's bad. You know, I understand the idea of herd immunity, but you don't know what the lasting effects are. We don't know a lot about the disease. And it can also take some people out, even apparently young, healthy people. We just don't know a lot about it. So I get that. And about the antigen versus the PCR tests, the antigen tests, to my understanding, are quick result tests, right? You want to see, like, we just need to know that someone might have this. And then if that comes back positive, then you give the more definitive test. But the advantage of the antigen test, as I understand it, it's like if you go to the doctor and get one of those strep tests, right, that you find the result right away. The advantage is you can at least screen to see who might or probably has it. And then you can go for further testing and at least temporarily isolate them. So that's, I don't know that it's an either or, but the advantage of it is that it's quick. You get the results in a few minutes instead of 24 or 48 hours.
Well, for me personally, I think the biggest point to be made is that I separate the Big Five schools from the regular institutions because of the money generated by football, which means that you bring in such revenue that you have the ability to go out there and to provide more testing and to upgrade your testing to some degree, or your access to test, where some of the other smaller institutions that don't generate that kind of revenue don't have that at their disposal. So it's simply not worth the risk because you're not generating but so much money anyway to get access to those tests. So why would you put your institution and the students representing it in that kind of position? Whereas for the Big Five schools, you generate such revenue, you do have the clout, the cachet, monetarily speaking, to go out there and get access to the testing necessary, whether it's antigen or PCR or whatever the case may be. You have the ability to pull that off and not compromise yourself in that way. And because of that is why I'm supportive of them moving forward and making this decision.
Yep. And we'll continue to keep everyone up to speed as we get concrete details here on the schedule and everything moving forward. And it looks like, fellas, the Pac-12 could potentially be next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Here we go. Back to the NBA. That's what I'm talking about. That same energy and intensity, fellas. The Celtics blow the lead. Jimmy Buckets doing what he does. He takes over. We see Bam with that block. The Heat now take a one-game lead in the series. Stephen A., you want to clear something up quick, I was told, before we get into this?
Yeah, I just wanted to clear something up because, and Max, now this is from a very well-connected owner involving this kind of stuff. I just wanted to read to y'all what they had to say. Antigen testing is not as accurate as PCR testing or even isothermal amplification test. Both of the latter are testing for virus. Antigen testing tests for the protein on surface of the virus. But if you test daily and repeatedly, there is an argument that it is effective for screening for the virus. Antigen tests are quick and cheap. PCR testing is new rapid PCR tests available, and more are coming, but they are more expensive. They just wanted me to make sure that I put that information out. So that's what I want to let you know.
And Stephen A., at the moment, the antigen test, few minutes, you get your results. That's the benefit, really. But then if you get a positive, you got to follow up.
But PCR is more accurate. PCR is more accurate, more expensive. So the reason why it's important, guys, for us to bring that up, because as we talk about these college institutions, Molly, it's incredibly important that we point that out, because you're going to see who's trying to be cheap and who's focused on being accurate and safe. That's the difference.
No,
that's
why
they can work in conjunction, Stephen.
Enlightening us with that.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, of course.
They can.
And guys, we'll dive into this a little more later. Unfortunately, right now, it appears COVID isn't going away. So Paul Feinbaum will join us later. We'll talk about the Big Ten, Pac-12. We'll continue to keep people up to speed on that. But can we talk about this game last night? Some NBA action for me, Stephen A. Yeah. What was the biggest storyline in your opinion when you were watching Heat and Celtics?
Well, for me, obviously, nobody can escape the maybe the greatest block we've ever seen in postseason history, which is what, I mean, that rivals LeBron's block of Iguodala. There's no question about that. That was a Game 7 of the NBA Finals as opposed to Game 1 of an Eastern Conference Finals. But that block by Bam Adebayo was absolutely positively sensational. But I think the other thing to point out is that Jason Tatum, who had about 30 and 14 for the night and was flat out balling, couldn't close. And what you're going to need more than anything is not just him, but you're going to need Kemba Walker to play better. With Jason Tatum, you simply need him to finish. With Kemba Walker, excuse me, we've made so much noise about the chemistry and how much more of a team they appear to be now that Kyrie is gone, but Kemba Walker is there. Here's the deal. We love Kemba. We know he's a star. He's a special player. He's got to play like it. He himself has admitted that. If Kemba Walker doesn't show up and play the kind of basketball he's capable of playing, the Miami Heat are going to win this series. Now, I've got them to win in 7 anyway, but we all know it could go either way. But the way Marcus Smart is playing, the way Jason Tatum has played for the most part, Jaylen Brown and what he's capable of, Daniel Tyson, these boys, with Gordon Hayward coming back, excuse me, the Boston Celtics can rival anybody if Kemba Walker brings his A game. But he's got to do it. Because if he doesn't do it, it's not going to work. Goran Dragic had 29 points last night. We've been talking about Jimmy Butler and his clutch play down the stretch. And we talk about the 18 that Adebayo dropped and the 22 that Jamie Crowder dropped and Bam Adebayo's block of Jason Tatum's dunk. We talk about all of that. Goran Dragic had 29 points. Kemba Walker, you have to respond to that. You have to show up. And if he doesn't, Boston's going to lose this series.
Well, the story of the game is the block. I mean, they were trading shot for shot, blow for blow, two evenly matched teams. neither one of them used to losing in this postseason, and the block was the difference, really. I mean, occasionally you can point to a play and say, that's the difference in the game, right? It reminded me almost in its way of the Patriots and the Eagles in the Super Bowl, when at a certain point you're like, these guys are scoring. A defensive play is going to win the game. Not that you knew it would be defense in this case, but that was the guy who stepped up and made a game-winning play is Bam. Tatum is, and the question always was going into this season, this bubble postseason. We thought it might be a funky season, postseason. You looked at the Heat, you looked at the Celtics, and I didn't pick either team, but I thought, yep, if someone said, could either one of those win the championship? Not just get there, win the whole thing. Yeah, it could happen. It's that kind of environment. It's that kind of atmosphere and that kind of evenly matched team and, you know, circumstance. So this is not surprising that the Heat are playing the Celtics or that they're playing each other evenly. The question for me with the Celtics really was, can Jason Tatum, who always looked to me like that's the future best offensive player on a championship team, he could be that one day. Are we watching that happening right now? Because that's what was so impressive about Bam's block, right? The dude it was on, a guy who went for 30 and 14 and 5, and who's been amazing. That's who he blocked to really win the game. So can Tatum be that guy? But here's the problem, having lost the first game to the Heat, and I picked the Celtics in this series. Gordon Hayward. I thought Hayward would be available to them to begin the series. He was not. Now they have to take a piece. It's not a small piece. And he makes them better if he's already, but you got to reintegrate that into a team where the minutes have been absorbed by other players who played well, like Marcus Smart, for example. You got to do all that and you're down a game to a Heat team that just played like that? It's tough for the Celtics. In a 7-game type series, the fact that they weren't able to start at full strength and they let one get away that they probably should have won, I think is bad news for Boston.
Well, listen, the bottom line is this. I think that when you've got guys like Brad Wanamaker coming off the bench and giving you 11 points, hitting 3 of his 5 shots, that's a plus. How many minutes did he play? He played 24 minutes, played 24 solid minutes. We got to give credit where credit is due, that everybody else around Kemba Walker is doing at least what they're supposed to do, if not more. I look at Marcus Smart. He's been the MVP of this team over the last several weeks, as far as I'm concerned. This dude is drilling J's, man. He's 6 3-pointers last night. Now, this dude was known as a defender, just a workhorse and one of the blood and guts of the Boston Celtics, man, because he's a rough rider, and we know what an elite defender he is, got so much heart. But this brother is hitting J's, long-range J's, pulling up, hitting threes, okay? We didn't anticipate that from him. So when you got that from him and you still have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for the most part doing what they're supposed to do, and let alone you're still, and you're Kemba Walker, you still can't get going, you got to accept responsibility, which he has, and you got to step it up and get it done. Outside of that, I got to confess, as great as that game was, I'm not really interested in talking about it. I'm that interested in getting back to the Clippers, because I hope now that Max Kellerman has had some time to take a deep breath and reflect on the drivel that he spewed in the first segment of the show, that he would actually talk about basketball without bringing up an economist or giving 5 or 6 or 7 different truths or something like that. Because now that you had a time to take a deep breath, I mean, I want you to reflect again on Kawhi Leonard and the best in the world and the Los Angeles Clippers, who you picked to win it all. I want you to reflect on all of this stuff on the next block, not this block, the next block. I want you to take commercial. I want you to take a deep breath. Woosah! That's what I want you to do, Max. Take a deep breath with me. Woosah! That's what I want you to do from the Bad Boys movie. Will Smith and my man Martin Lawrence. That's what I want you to do. Woosah, take a deep breath, reflect, and think about what the hell happened last night.
Stephen
and give
A with
America
the alley-oop.
The appropriate apology that you owe them. And we'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Don't bring up
Perfect.
Damn economy.
Stephen A., thank
no economy.
You for teeing that up.
Don't we have a baseball
up.
Topic
Guys.
To do or something?